Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Parada Uvacha. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno. Smaranam Pada Sevanam. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. Iti Pungsarpita Vishno. Bhakti's chain Navalakshana. Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha. Tanmanye Ditam Uttamam.
First one was a lot easier. The second was a little more difficult to follow.
Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship. That's what Arjuna. With 16 types of paraphernalia. Offering prayers to the Lord, becoming a servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Rani Kashyapu had asked Prahlad, what's the best thing that you've learned? Well, I didn't learn this from Shantanamarka, but the best thing I've learned is from Narada Muni, the process of devotional service. He's the best teacher with the best teaching, and these 9 processes, one who is engaged sincerely in these 9 processes is to be understood as having acquired complete knowledge. So we're going to focus just on one of those 9 processes because of the deity worship, the deity installation. With some few things, the 9 processes of devotional service, they begin with the first 2. Shravanam Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting is the beginning of devotional service, the middle of devotional service, and the end of devotional service, and the perfection of devotional service. It leads to all other forms of devotional service. We've often heard Prabhupada say, one of the places is Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada writes that any one of these 9 processes, all of them, 8 of them, 7 of them, any one of them alone, standing alone, if one can do them without offense, perfectly, nicely, you can achieve perfection of life. You've all heard that, right? In his writings on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami expresses, while that's true, they must also be accompanied by chanting. Just like with deity worship. Before the deity worship, chanting. After the deity worship, chanting. When performing arti, chanting. When the pujaris are doing dressing, chanting of mantras. Chanting is the essence, and what is it that we're chanting? We're chanting something we've heard, so hearing and chanting. hearing and chanting, shravanam kirtanam. It naturally leads to the other processes. Vishnu smaranam. Vishnu smaranam doesn't mean like mechanical memorization of some slokas or something like that. It means reawakening the dormant Krishna consciousness that lies within us. The remembrance of Krishna that's natural for all souls. Simply it's dormant or has been forgotten. So that's the third. Hearing, chanting, remembering. And the one that follows that, number four, is padasevanam. Commonly we think of, at least I'm accustomed to thinking of, padasevanam is what the goddess of fortune does. She worships the lotus feet. She serves the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. If you notice, I didn't comment, but one of the images on the prayers by Lord Hanuman, he's speaking of the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. And that first image is Sita Devi massaging the feet and the legs of Lord Ramachandra, Hanuman, excuse me, Lakshman in the background standing guard. If you took away the bow and arrows and, you know, the scenery of, in the forest, it looks like the goddess of fortune serving Narayana. Because the mood is the same, padasevanam, what Sita is doing in that image. But she's not the only one. We saw Guha worshipping the lotus feet of Ramachandra. And others, we saw Hanuman grasping the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra when they first met. But this mood of serving the lotus feet includes what Prabhupada writes in the purport here is going on pilgrimage. Padasevanam, you use your padas, use your feet to go to the places of pilgrimage. And then hear the pastimes of the Lord, again, shravanam, kirtanam, accompanying each one of the subsequent processes. And then archanam, deity worship, that's number five in this list of nine. It follows from hearing and chanting, naturally. It wouldn't make sense if somebody does deity worship before they do hearing and chanting. It makes sense that from hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, they want to worship the Lord. And so the deity form follows. So let me just read, because this is our founder Acharya describing, there's like an 8-page purport on just on deity worship. Very detailed. I'm not going to read 8 pages, I'll just read some portions. But he's giving some fundamentals that are very important for us. If one is interested in the process of archana, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. Don't speculate. Go to a store, buy some deities, and start speculating. Follow the instructions how deity worship is to be done. There are many books for archana, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for archana or deity worship. What does that mean? There are two systems of archana, the Bhagavata system and the Pancharatrika system. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatrika worship, because in this age of Kali, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So it's like deity worship is the icing and then there's the cake. The cake is sufficient, but the icing is nice. Prabhupada described, not here, elsewhere, that one complements the other. the Pancharatrika system, excuse me, the hearing and chanting, the Bhagavata system, makes the heart pure. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing of the heart through the hearing and chanting process. And then there's the practical application of that purified heart in worshipping the Lord. The awakening of the desire to worship the Lord through hearing and chanting is followed by worship of the Lord. One strengthens and enhances the other. They go very well together. But the beginning is hearing and chanting. The foundation is hearing and chanting. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Deity worship helps the steadiness of devotional service. And hearing and chanting gives inspiration to do the deity worship. Generally, householders have children. And then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in a nursery school. That was the end of the paragraph. Speaking about deity worship, and so it's for the whole family to engage in. Is this point here? Grihastha devotees must adopt the Archanavidhi, or deity worship according to suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there is the following statement in Agni Purana. Any householder devotee circumstantially unable to worship the deity must at least see the deity worship, and in this way he may achieve success also. The special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. Grihastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. Now, consider the fact that Srila Prabhupada is a world acharya. And what he's writing is for the world during his present lifetime, and knowing very clearly, Prabhupada said over and over, that he wasn't going to be with us for long. So he's leaving behind like lasting instructions for his audience, the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam, to progress spiritually. But he's giving, in little short statements, principles that will help us understand how to make progress and how to remain steady, how to do our activity of deity worship in this case properly. And there's a very strong emphasis on cleanliness. And I can tell you that besides from Srimad Bhagavatam, when he was training his early disciples, he would say over and over again, there are two most important things in deity worship. And sometimes he would say three. But the two most important ones that he would say regularly are cleanliness and punctuality. So deity worship is meant for those who know how to maintain a standard of cleanliness. And when the deity worship begins, you maintain a standard of cleanliness, a high standard of cleanliness. So he was speaking specifically in the case of instructing us within temples. He used an adjective, summit cleanliness. He said, my devotees should be known in the world for their summit cleanliness. He would boast about the devotees that were able to maintain that standard. He wanted very much. And specifically, when engaging in deity worship, it's very important to remain clean. Just like this couple, they had a small child, they had a desire to worship the deity some time ago. So wait till the child gets a little older and more regulated, and then you can maintain the necessary cleanliness to do deity worship.
because a mother with a small baby, it's really hard to maintain cleanliness. Because cleanliness is so important. And it's not, it includes the actual place of worship, but it also means, you know, your regular, the cleanliness in the house and cleanliness of your body. Very, very important standard of cleanliness. Let me just share this. There was a lecture that I've listened to hundreds of times, at least 100 times, where Prabhupada was describing what he did as a householder, his daily routine. Very nice. There's a sequence and there's certain core elements. He said that in the beginning, in the morning, you wake up, rise early, before the rising of the sun, and then take your bath, make the outside clean, apply tilak. First thing, when waking in the morning, pay obeisances to the spiritual master and say the name of your deity. Think of the Lord and think of your spiritual master. First thing. Then get up, take your bath, put on clean cloth. And then Prabhupada said, go to the place where the deity is being worshipped, make some sound, ring a bell or knock or announce your presence before entering. And then go to the altar, the place where the worship is done, while reciting prayers. First thing, make the altar clean. And then while reciting prayers, do some whatever with the daily practice that you do for your deity. Make some cooking, make the offering to the deity, recite the scripture, chant your mantra, take your morning meal, and then go to work. Come home in the evening, take your bath, come before the deity, offer obeisances before the deity, and again, aarti and kirtan before the deity and some recitation of scripture. And then he described in the middle part of the day, he said, when you go to the marketplace, you're taking the fruits of your work, the wealth, the money, and you're thinking, what will be very nice to offer to Krishna? It was contrasting. People that don't have Krishna consciousness or deities to worship, they're thinking, what will taste good? I like this, I don't like that. Here's a good mango. They're thinking of the tongue, and for the devotee is thinking of making an offering for Krishna. So they're very careful of the quality, but they're not thinking in terms of sense gratification or thinking in terms of service to Krishna. And then one takes that purchased item, brings it back to the kitchen, because it's going to be for Krishna, it's cleaned very nicely, because it's going to be for Krishna, it's cut very nicely, because it's going to be for Krishna, it's prepared as an offering for Krishna, and then the offering is made to Krishna. In this way, even in your daily activities of routine, you're thinking of Krishna and you're serving Krishna. And all of that is assisted simply by the act of having a deity for worship. Of course, those that don't have deities can have a picture. And the same principle can be applied just by worshipping the picture of the deity. But when a certain steadiness and capacity to be clean, and then this other function, punctuality, the stress that Prabhupada made in temple worship was precisely at the same time every day. Like, you know, his indication was at 4:29, this is Mangal Arati, is at 4:30. The pujari is standing there waiting till 4:30 so he can blow the conch and then begin the arati. We don't keep Krishna waiting or come late. It's very punctuality and cleanliness. So for home standard of deity worship, that same rigorous punctuality is relaxed somewhat, but at least there should be some regularity of, during certain parts of the day, something is done for the deity. And
the more you can be fixed about the time that you do that worship, the better. Because it establishes regulation for yourself. And when you establish regulation for yourself, you're strengthening the quality of goodness. And when you strengthen the quality of goodness, you come closer to transcendence. Because cleanliness is next to godliness. You've heard that one before? Cleanliness is next to godliness. You've heard it. You're not sure. Somewhere. Now you've heard it. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's a mode of goodness quality, cleanliness. And punctuality is also regulation. Is a mode of goodness quality. So promote in your life the quality of goodness and bring it or leverage it to the position of transcendence, because the purpose of that goodness and goodness and goodness is transcendence. One moves to the position of transcendence just by, as Prabhupada is saying, carefully following the rules and regulations of deity worship. It's wonderful. It's very similar to the name of Krishna. The name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. The words of Krishna are not different than Krishna. And the form of Krishna is not different than Krishna. But there's more rules and regulations pertaining to deity worship that we don't find the same with chanting. Is that right? What are the rules and regulations as far as chanting are concerned? What did Lord Chaitanya say? Nam nam akari bahuta nija sarva shaktis. Shri Shri Chaitanya Thai Chaitanya Chandra Ki Jai. So I'll say again. Just the first two lines. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatra pita niyamata smaranena kala. What is niyama? What does niyama mean? Rules and regulations. There's no rules and regulations with regard to chanting the holy name. So anyone can chant the holy name. There's no rules and regulations. And with scripture, we distribute books to anybody, everybody. They can receive the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and become purified. But the standard for deity worship, then it comes rules and regulations. There's niyamas in relation to deity worship. But those niyamas help us come to the quality of goodness, which helps us chant the holy name properly, with proper attention and proper devotion. So the two, deity worship and chanting, one enhances the other and vice versa. They help one another. Just I'll read one more paragraph, because they're now going to make an offering. Deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word Namaha. In all the mantras, there are specific potencies in which the grahastha devotees must take advantage. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha. But if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the result of chanting Namaha many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of Godhead. One might ask, then what is the necessity of being initiated? Just chant. Get all perfection. What is the necessity of initiation? Prabhupada writes. The answer is that even though the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Therefore, Special stress is given to Archanavidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavata process and the Pancharatrika process. Is that clear? Again, these two paths or processes. The Bhagavata. But in the second canto, Prabhupada calls the deity worship process as practical. There's theory, and then there's practical. Is Arpanas still here? She had to go somewhere. On the way over in the car, she was describing her schedule and chemistry. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Wednesday is lab. Lab is the practical. You learn something in the classroom, theoretical. And then you go to the laboratory and you do the practical. You know, the presentation of the theory goes into the practice. So, deity worship is the practice. There is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then in very practical ways, you use your senses in serving the master of the senses. Preparations are being have been cooked to be offered to the deity. Garlands have been made. There's many things. The decorations, the bathing, the worship, the articles that are offered. It's that the practical application of the theory of devotional service. Of course, devotional service can be applied in everything that we do. Not only is practical in deity worship, and the rest of the life is inconsequential. That's also practical, but to help fix your consciousness upon Krishna when you're doing your worldly duties, whatever they may be, the household duties or the in the office, workplace duties, or in the classroom, school duties, or whatever it is. Maintaining the consciousness of service of Krishna. Deity worship is very important. Just a few last things. It's repeatedly in Prabhupada's instructions, emphasis is given to especially grihasthas should engage in deity worship. For the reasons mentioned, and the mode of goodness being promoted, especially cleanliness and regulation and so forth. But at the same time, our great acharyas, they also engaged in deity worship. They weren't neophytes. For the most part, they weren't grihasthas, at least in our line. Certainly some were, but not, like the Sikh Goswamis. They were completely renounced, and they engaged in deity worship. It wasn't for freeing themselves from worldly contamination. It's for higher stages of devotion, expressing in practical ways, higher stages of devotion. It's said about Jiva Goswami that he's one of my heroes in Krishna consciousness. He's way up there. Fantastic scholarship. Amazing, amazing. I just The division of the BBT that just printed Gopi Puranadana Prabhu's Tattva Sandarbha is the Govardhan school, Sanskrit school that Gopi Puranadana was conducting. Maybe I should just back up. One of my very dear godbrothers was a Sanskrit graduate from Columbia University. Brilliant devotee. Very, very faithful to Prabhupada devotee. Not so practical. But brilliant devotee. So finally somebody recognized this brilliant devotee should have some powerful engagement because he's such a resource. He could train so many others in Sanskrit. He's brilliant. So a godbrother, another godbrother, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, established a school for Gopi Pranadana to teach ISKCON devotees Sanskrit for the purpose of translating the writings of the Goswamis so that we could read them. But, you know, in a very, because to do that kind of translation, you have to have really, really, really good Sanskrit. So one of the projects that Gopi Pranadana was working on was a translation of the Sandarvas by Jiva Goswami. I took a course in, I was teaching a course in something in Vrindavan. This was maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And he was teaching Tattva Sandarbha, so I took his Tattva Sandarbha course. And it was wonderful. And it was just, now I'm preparing for teaching Tattva Sandarbha myself. Because this Thanksgiving holiday, I'm going to be doing that, you know, a 35-hour presentation on Tattva Sandarbha. And I was just this morning sharing with Gopal Bhatta. It's so enlivening, and spending a little bit of time every day, little bit of time every day, little bit of time every day studying Tattva Sandarbha. And it's thrilling. Because Jiva Goswami is so brilliant how he illuminates the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's brilliant. It's not something that Prabhupada didn't say, but the way Jiva Goswami says it is so nice. And then Gopal Bhatta Prabhu shared with me. He said, when I started reading, because he was a publisher, Gopal Bhatta then arranged for the publishing, there's a new BBT division. I think it's called the Govardhan division or something like that, because the school was by Govardhan Hill. So that division of the BBT published Tattva Sandarbha. So Gopal Bhatta, he gave a copy to all of our GBC members, and he started reading himself Tattva Sandarbha, and he said, the realization I had when reading Tattva Sandarbha is my faith in Srimad Bhagavatam just magnified many times over. And it's not that before reading Tattva Sandarbha I had weak faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. We grew up with Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. But the way that Jiva Goswami presents the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, it just elevates appreciation and faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. So maybe someday you'll also read Tattva Sandarbha. That comment is specifically in relation to Jiva Goswami's comments on the process of deity worship. Jiva Goswami, as scholarly as he was, like, you know, Prabhupada said, there has never been a scholar in the history of the world as brilliant as Jiva Goswami. That's quite a statement. But when you read his writings, you can understand why he made the statement. But at the same time, he was very, very, very deeply involved in deity worship. He would sing for his deity, and Krishna would then play his flute and dance in front of Jiva Goswami as he would sing for his deity. Can you imagine? Those of you that do deity worship in your home, you're so absorbed in a personal way in your deity worship that you're singing from your heart, and Jiva Goswami was singing from his heart, and Krishna would start dancing, smiling and dancing, and playing upon his flute. So it's for very advanced devotees also. We're not very advanced devotees. For us, it's assisting our purification and coming to this position of consciousness that's transcendental, so that in our everyday activities of life, we have the sense of using our senses in the service of the master of the senses, especially assisted by the process of deity worship. And one who does deity worship attentively and with proper regulation like that on a daily basis, something happens. You get attached to the deity. You start thinking in terms of doing something for the deity, even when you're, whatever, I don't know, driving the car or going from this place to that place. The mind starts, instead of the other clutter that's in the mind, these thoughts of how to make a nice festival. There's a festival coming, and how to have a nice offering for your deity when this festival, and make nice outfit and whatever, according to your ability and your inspiration and your capacity. It just carries the heart from one situation of life to the next situation of life in a transcendental way. Srimad Bhagavatam is like that too. And the chanting of the holy name is like that too. And serving the devotees of the Lord is like that too. And residing in the holy Dham is like that too. These five most potent things. It's one of the five most potent things in all of devotional service, is this worship of the deity form of the Lord. So, very beneficial. At a certain stage of one's progress in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so any comments or questions from anyone? Yes, Mataji.
Just as you made the comment about cleanliness for Grahastha.
Cleanliness for anyone.
Yeah. But, you know, Mother Narayani gave a class at Mayapur just recently.
And were you there?
I listened.
You listened, okay.
Online. And it's very interesting. From the third canto, she made an, she shared that Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. And then she said the corresponding four
activities.
Four activities, or the four pillars of religion. Cleanliness, fruitfulness, mercy, austerity. And obviously we would think that cleanliness would be for Grahastha, but she mentioned that for Brahmachari, that one is for cleanliness. And for Grahastha it's mercy, because, I mean, and giving in charity.
Yes, giving in charity.
That's really nice.
That's nice.
And then, you know, normally you would think that how we proper says Grahastha, you know, that would be their main thing, blending. So austerity for Vanaprastha, and Sannyas was
truthfulness.
Yes, truthfulness. So I just it was very nice when we read it, and then it's very nice when we hear it. The four pillars of religion for four ashrams.
She's a nice speaker. Very, very nice. She and her husband joined the Hare Krishna movement in the same place that I did, about 3 weeks a month apart from one another. So I've known her for like 40 something years. And our service has not always been together, but she's wonderful. She's wonderful. Very elevated. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else? Yes.
I just want to make a comment about what you said. As we do, as we serve the deity, we become more
attached to the deity.
Yes.
You have that experience?
It is a wonderful realization, because if you're talking to the deity while you're doing the service to them, you're thinking of my desire, my yoga. So it really brings you into a deeper bond with them.
And the reciprocation too. Those that engage in regular deity worship, they see the circumstances of their life as manifestations of the mercy of their deity. It's not something abstract. It's something very real, very personal. As you say, talking to them, praying to them, depending upon them, seeing your life guided by them. It's like, it's very real. Very real. Very personal. Deities within the temple, similarly, someone may have deity in their home, which is nice. And then the deity in the temple where we go for larger functions and larger kirtan and some service for the deity in the temple is also very nice. And especially it brings all the community together in one place, reposing their devotion upon, you know, the deity. And there's so many activities needed for the maintenance of the residence of the deity, the temple. Whether it's cooking or cleaning or finance or accounting or this thing or that, and fixing and repairing and cooking and worshiping, and it's very nice to bring a community of people who are very different in their occupation and their nature and their upbringing and their this and their that, come together and centered around the deity. It strengthens relationships between devotees, is my point. But another very nice feature of deity worship. Anything else? Okay. Well, we may be nearly ready for arati. Yeah? Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Sri Nitai Chaitanya Chandra ki.
Yes.